First of all, Rab Zundel from Salant said, "Kol ikruva l'tayva." Every time you've got to wait for something, there's a good reason for it. Kol, now you're waiting, you're sitting in the car. You got to get your kids to school, and first you got to say thank you to Kol Aloshin and Kavishkacha Pratis and Torah Anytime and Rabbi Yosef Yaffe. Shita.
Doesn't now, look good, you're holding
things.
It doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good, okay.
It looks good.
Navarra gives it, it's all good either way. So now the thing is this. The thing is that when you held back and you want so desperately to do something, you want your son to become the greatest sage in Israel. And it's not happening. He's taking his time. He's making lots of trouble in the meantime. He's beating up his sister. Hey, what's going on? Or you yourself would wish you to be a little bit more the way you're supposed to be. Now, do you know the Mashkiach of Lakewood, Reb Nosson Vachfeigel, said, you have to learn how to tolerate. And learning how to tolerate being civil means tolerating yourself included. Tolerate yourself. Tolerate, learn how to tolerate. I ain't perfect, it's tough. That's the way I am. That's the way Hashem wants, God wants me to be like that. It's just right. I like it, in fact. Of course, we have to have a desire to improve, but in the meantime, you have to have the number one is to thank for the present moment. Said, where I'm standing right now is holy. I like it exactly the way it is. Even though I can't wait to be somewhere else and do something else and become a new person. Or sooner we're getting the job any minute. The meantime is very holy. Don't make a joke out of it. You're waiting to bring your kids to school. You know what you can do in the meantime? You can pray. You can go to the master of the world. Now, why are you bringing kids to school? You want to bring them there on time? You want to get there on time? How about praying that they should turn out good? That quality time with you and the master of the universe is more precious than the entire school system. Just spend a few minutes alone with him. He is the source of all goodness in the universe. When you give him chashivas, when you value the time you have alone with him, you value him above all the other, the doctor. I have to sit in the waiting room with this doctor. He keeps me waiting. I'm going out of my mind. What's the story? What's going to be? You're all worried. You spend time in the waiting room praying to God. And you go, you want to be healthy, don't you? I'm telling you, the source of your health is God, not that doctor. The doctor might be a good thing to do. It may be something that God would like you to do. Not everybody. Some people don't do it, and they do well. But watch out. Not everybody's ready for that. But there are people I knew that didn't go, and they just, their prayers made them better. I did it myself this year. I wasn't feeling, I was really bad. And they were telling me, oh, you better, oh, you got pain here, pain there. This is real, this is, and it's even here. Oh, this is a sign, this sign, that. I said, 1 second. Don't get me nervous. And I called up the doctor, God-fearing Jew, great person. Call him up. I says, Doc, I'm not feeling so good. Give me a blessing. And the doc gave me a blessing. I says, okay, but tomorrow morning I'll see you. I said, no, 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 it's fine. I got my blessing. It's fine. I promise you. The next day, I was on the road to recovery. It was a major turnaround. Because I believed in his blessing. He's a great person. So I don't have to go down to the office. He's going to stop bothering me. Maybe this is wrong. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe this is wrong. Maybe I'd say, leave me alone with that stuff. I know people who live till 120 with not going. I don't recommend that the average one of us should not go to a doctor. But I knew people who didn't, and they did great. Perhaps because they never went. They never found out all the stuff that could go, that went wrong. When something was wrong, they played. I know someone like this today who is known to do that. He went to the dentist, Rav Don Segal, he went to the dentist, and he said, please, it's a cosmetic issue. I'm not interested in the dentist. My wife doesn't like the shape of my teeth. I'm going for her to make her feel good, so go fix it. Doc takes a look in his mouth. Oh, boy, you got this problem, you got that problem. He says, listen to me. You must be in a lot of pain. Listen to me. I'm feeling fine. And bug off. Let me just take care of the cosmetic issue. And that's all he, that's what they say. Take care of that. I know people live like that. I certainly avoid going to them because my rabbis told me to do that. And it pays off, you know, b'li ein hara. It pays off. And I'm not telling other people to do it. You're not ready for that stuff. But even if you do go to a doctor, don't rely on him and only him. You're in the garbage can. He knows he can make mistakes. You know that? He's human. You know, he could, who knows what. And he can tell you things that maybe you shouldn't know about. Doctors are notorious for doing that. They can get you sick just by the way they talk to you, even if you're not so bad. Just for, well, they want to protect themselves, that, you know. So they say things that maybe you shouldn't hear. Anyway, Koli Kubala Toiva. But anywhere you go, spend that quality time with the creator of the world. Spend that time alone with him. You'll feel so good. And he will take good care of you. He likes people who respect him more, who realize the value they have with having him alone. The reason why people don't always get the mileage they'd like from the prayers is because they don't value their prayers enough. They're not into it. Yeah, well, it might work, might not work. That's why I recommend, write down all your answered prayers. And make a book out of it, a diary, all the ones, and the miracles that you created. I'm going to have so much competition after that. We'll have Admors all over the world. I sincerely believe that there are so many potential Admors. And Admor means the holy rabbis that perform miracles. I do believe they're all over the place. The potential's there. It's their own fault. Why don't they record all their successes? And they don't realize it. The evil inclination is always recording their failures. He's very good at that. If something didn't work, now, so many times you prayed and nothing happened right away. Now, in your mind, praying don't work so great. You forgot that 2 months later everything turned out fine. That you forgot. See, he doesn't let, but what stuck is your failure. The failures stick all over the place. Negativism is the challenge of every human. It's a war to become a positive person. Not negative. It's not easy. You're going to, oh, you see, it didn't work. You know, one of my great rabbis, Rabbi Schwartz, once told me, right after you repented, boom, things got worse. And he says, that's par for the course. It's always like that. God is testing you. You got to throw in the towel. Oh, I can't, it's not working. Like Esau. Ace of Russia. He threw in the towel. It didn't work. Goodbye. I'm out of the business. But a good Jew holds on. Hold on. And you will get so much reward for holding on. Besides getting what you want in the world to come, you're going to be a hero. Those who hold on and never give up, they are the luckiest people in the universe. They have royalty. King David held on. In the worst situation, there was a sharp sword on his neck, and he says, I'm not impressed. I'm going to get out of this one, and he did. And his great-grandson, Fiskia HaMelech, who almost became the Messiah, he did the same thing when he was hit. He was almost dead. The prophet told him, you're a dead man, Fiskia, and he told him, why? You sinned, you did this, you did that. You know, good, you're dead. And he says, please leave my royal chamber. Yeshaya Navi was speaking to. He said, my great-grandfather David told me, even if there's a sharp-edged sword on your neck, never give up for not giving. And he lived another 15 years. He prayed, and he lived 15 years. You don't give up. I'm sorry. But look what happened. Look what, nothing. You pray. You can get anything you want. You want to hear my miracles? Now, I officially believe in miracles, in the most unbelievable miracles, and I stick to it. Whether it works or not, I'm not interested. I do have loads of stories that you won't even believe it. I don't even believe it sometimes. But it happened. I have people that suddenly they recovered, suddenly they're out of bed. But I always talk big because I get a mitzvah. It is a merit for a person to have faith. Let's say the faith does not work. It doesn't matter. He still got himself a mitzvah. Just having B'tochen is a mitzvah. You got a mitzvah, and the more the better. Sometimes it's better to accept. Somebody just called me up. He's a nervous wreck ever since years and years and years and years. He's always calling me up. I said, oh, here he is again. And I know what he's all about. I'm a bundle of nerves, Rabbi. I'm a bundle of nerves. I can't deal with it. Life is such a stress. There are a lot of people out there like that. So I told him like this. I don't even remember what I told him. But I know he keeps calling me. And this time he called me with good news. And he said, guess what? I listened to your advice. And I kept saying, I accept it. In fact, I like being nervous. It's great. And I kept doing your advice. Oh, it's great. Be nervous. So what? It's good. Nervous energy makes you produce more. Suffer? So I suffer. So God knows what he's doing. And say it with your mouth. Say it. Vocalize it. I enjoy suffering. I wouldn't mind if it disappeared. You can say that too. But say it. He told me he had a major turnaround. How's that? Major turnaround. Is that something? Because he kept doing that. Okay, now, marital discord. They are calling me up all over the place. My most striking, I still have it on the machine. If anybody wants to hear it, it's still there. A man from Israel leaves me a message and tells me, Rabbi Mandel, several months ago I called you about my marital discord. We're in a lot of trouble. It seems they were separated. Oh, boy. And I says, you're fine. I give you a blessing. Everything's perfect. I don't know him. I don't know her. I never saw them. I never even heard. I don't know them from Adam. They called from Jerusalem, Americans who live there. And they called me up about the marital discord. It's still on my machine. That means it's less than a week old. He just called me to tell me, you said it's going to turn around. It's exactly what happened. And we are together again. How's that one? So how did I do that one? Now look, I'll be honest with you. I know I'm a great person. I know I have tremendous qualities. But to be very honest with you, I do not have the Holy Spirit. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh, Rabbi Sai. Although there's a certain measure everybody does, and maybe I do have to a certain degree. But I'm not the type of guy that knows. But I keep doing this because it's called Tamimus. Tamim Tiyam Hashem Lekecha. A tamim is a person that doesn't think too much. Don't get so smart. The smart people are in trouble. I just had one on the telephone recently. Uh-oh. This guy's smart. Nothing's going to happen with you. Well, who says? Okay, good. Now, people are different. I respect them. But if you want to really go places and have miracles, you got to be those starry-eyed people who are maybe aren't so smart. And I try hard not to be smart. It's a hard job. The Kutzke Rabbi of Kutzk and Rabbi Yaldo from the Vardig both said the same thing. You got to be brilliant to learn how to be. How do you say tamimus in English? Yatamim, to be simple. I'm a simple guy. I said a blessing. It's got to work. Just say it. Watch what happens. You know how often I'm right? It's a riot. Now, you can't imagine how often I'm right. People get miracles. I'm a known miracle. You heard of me, didn't you guys? I'm one of the big miracle workers in the world. You know, when you say something, it comes true. I said, all the Admars, you know why they're called Admar? Admar means a holy rabbi. You know, those, Admar is the Hasidic leader who are known for their miracles. So I said, you know, their name is Admar. So I said, why are they called Admar? Because they all admire me. I said that in a joke. Like, I'm the chief Admar. I'm batting 1,000. By me, everybody gets that. I insist on speaking positive. That's the way I am. I don't mean to put everyone down. It's just, I would advise them to do the same thing, call themselves the greatest Admar. But this, right now, I'm working with myself. So, that week that I made up that joke, within 2 weeks, I had 2 Admars. One of them, I called him up when I had that pain, and it was scary. I called him up because he's known to be a miracle worker. And I called him up, he lives in Jerusalem. And he started asking me questions. Oh, you? He says, I listen to you on Torah anytime. You listen, whatever. I know all about it. He knew me better than I did. He started telling me all the stuff that I say over whenever I speak. He knew me like a book. And he started asking me questions. He says, listen to me. I kept calling him the Admor. He says, no more of that stuff. You're my rabbi. I'm not yours. Says, wow. That's the way. Look, I just said something that they all admire you. Isn't that something? That's the first one. The second one was here. That was like a month ago. And the second one was like, it happened last week or 2 weeks ago. I get a phone call from an Admor from Jerusalem, one of the big famous families. He's got a small place, but he's a big person. He's an Admor. He ain't no, he's got stories of his own, big time. And he's dying to see me. And he came, took an hour of my time. And when he left, he kissed me over here like they do to all the big Admors, as if I'm his age. Here he gives me nothing. But yeah, I'm joking. What? Right here. He was sitting right there and we spent an hour. We had a ball. We like each other very much. The two Admors got together. But he gave me, and I gave him some money too, don't worry. He's coming from Jerusalem. I said, you're a finite income. I mean, please, he's not coming just to, he doesn't mind. I said, would you like $100? I think I'll deal with that. Yeah, he said I gave him some money too. Anyway. So, and I once did something about China. It's a true story. Every word you say, watch what you're saying. China. They were in China first. The whole pandemic started off in China. Now, this was a year and a half ago. When did it start? Pleasure to see you, fellas. China. That's all their fault. China, China, China. I was speaking to God. And I told him, you know, God, the Chinese are really good people. I once heard a thing. My father once told me, they're good. They fell into some evil stuff here and there. You know, they're into idol worship, bad news. But they really have Confucius, they have certain philosophers. And I said, God, they're really good people. I just happened to say it. I don't even know why. That day, I get a report. Today, the pandemic stopped. In China, there was a break on the whole business. People are stopped catching it. That day, I was just talking for no reason. I said something nice about the Chinaman, and look what happens. I call myself an Admor. Every word you say registers. Speak positive. Speak positive no matter what. Rabbi Miller says, better a positive lie than a negative truth. Now listen to this one. I have couples coming over to me. One after another. Some are on the phone, some in person. I'm going to tell you a couple. This goes back 15 years ago, but it really goes back 15 years ago. I'm not saying that to protect somebody that was just here today. It really, really happened. Here's a true story. They were ready to kill each other. But I mean, literally. I asked them, what do you guys plan to use? Pistols or knives? What are bats? You know, I like to make humor to calm them down. You don't know what humor can do. Anyway, but I those days I wasn't into the humor yet. It's the best idea in the universe. Teach people how to laugh, kind of, so you hate each other, so what? Who likes it? So you're not living happily ever after, so you're not madly in love like you used to be. So, big spiel, who cares? Don't make a whole, do you know what's going on in my life? Oh, I suffer so much. You know, the deep, deep reason why people suffer is because deep down, there's a good feeling. I'm suffering. They feel important. Don't you dare ever say that to anybody. You gotta hurt the poor guy. Well, Mandel said it's really nothing. He's full of baloney. Don't do that. So you're suffering and I really feel for you and you gotta validate most people. I said, do you want me to validate you or you want me to pull you out of this? So if I validate you, you'll keep crying and crying. And some people, you'd be surprised. Validating is all they need. But very often, you know, I'm on your side. Oh, if I'd be married to a guy like this, oh, I'd also be crazy. Oh, what you go through with these children and with this issue and that issue. I wonder what you really get. Now, almost 100% of the time, the people say, no, we want to move on. We don't want the validating. I'm not so sure how sincere they are. But they tell me that, and I make a joke out of their problem. You can't imagine how powerful that is. It makes it, puts it in its place. Oh, so you got a boo-boo. So, you know, you ever see these little kids? I have a boo-boo. Ever see these little 5-year-olds? I have a booboo and not you. I'm the good guy around here. I got a nice, you know what a booboo I am? I'm gonna cry pretty soon. This is bad and my mommy's gonna see. I know a little kid, a sweetie pie. He was up in the room upstairs in the house and he told one of his sisters, he says, tell mommy I'm crying. She'll come running. Oh, tell mommy I'm getting depressed. She watch her come running. That's why people get depressed. You get a lot of attention for getting depressed. Oh, don't get depressed. Please, darling. Please. I certainly will. And then you'll feel sorry for all the terrible things you do to me. You did not buy me that brand new bike that cost way too much for you. For whatever reason. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. And then mother, I'll be good, I'll behave. You know, in this day and age, the parents write, I am a good parent. You know, they're concerned. Parenting causes, and the kids know about it, by the way. Mom, you need a lot of counseling on how to deal with kids. That's a 5-year-old, unquote. Mom, you're trying, you're getting there, but you still got a long way to go. But by the time you figure out how to deal with me, I might be out of the, you know, I might be married, you know. And then, you lost your chance to be nice. And then for the rest of my life, I'm gonna go around fetching. Oh, my youth was terrible. Yeah, I shouldn't make fun of you. There is a time and a place for a person to go back to his youth and blame his problems on his youth. And he should do that. It'll make it easier for him to deal with certain things. Sometimes. Watch out! Sometimes you make believe it never happened. You'll live longer and happier and healthier. Forget it! You know what King David went through in his younger years? There's no therapist in the world that could deal with his problems. When his whole family wanted him killed by one lion and three lions and four bears, they pushed him in the forest. Here, David, we have a job for you. Take care of the sheep. No, that direction. Yeah. Where all the lions and bears are hanging out. So hopefully you'll never come back. Seriously. Did that to him? How many students did Yishai have? 600,000? He was a star of the universe. And he did that to David. How does David feel about that? Is that a nice, pleasant youth? So, well, the wonderful, loving father and his brothers are all in on it together with his father, get rid of him. Something wrong with him. They considered him messed up for several reasons. They felt he was illegitimate. All kinds of problems. He had a bad nature. All kinds of things. We're not going to kill him, but we prefer if we not, he's not part of the family. He's a shame and disgrace for the whole family. He ended up being king. How's that one? Surprise, surprise. All those people that feel that they're the odd man out in the family, don't feel so bad. Take a look at David. He did quite well. Anyway, David or Joseph, who was kicked out of the family, all his brothers disliked him. You know, if you have any problems, you have plenty of company. Moses, who had to run away from Egypt, and spend 40 years in a strange land with the black people of Cush. You know, anyway, let's get back to the Shalom Bayis. Now, we're talking about getting along. Now, I've done this several times. It's magic. They're in a critical mode. You got to hear her. Lambast him. Did you know what my husband does? Blah, blah, blah. She doesn't stop. And then he goes, and you know what she does? Blah, 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 blah. And this goes on forever. And I can tell this has been going on for 10 years, 20 years. It's like a broken record. You guys don't know your whole culture. It goes around what he did and what she did. You know what they say in the Knesset? And I believe in Congress as well. Guess what they do? Somebody wrote a beautiful article. They said, they got Navarro, he's still alive and well. Go to the Knesset. And they'll take each other apart, and they tell each other, well, all you care for is honor. You're not saying that because you really care for anybody. You're full of hot air. You're looking for publicity. You're looking for to win elections. They do that to each other all day long. They're nasty. All of you in America, I once saw a picture of what happened in Turkey in their government. And suddenly in the middle of the whole commotion, somebody took something and started throwing it. They were killing each other right there. They got physical, you know. Kill each other. So they're all big Bali Musa The only difference is, in a Vardik, they're busy blaming themselves. They said that nasty stuff. I am this and that, and I got to improve. Today, I don't go for any of that stuff. Not for yourself, not for anyone else. But anyway, got to be positive. So I got these people to stop being positive. And boy, you got to see what happened. I put you two on the phone and say, Joss, now you can hate each other. It's fine. But not when I'm in charge. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I am going to be, what do you call, a moderator? What do they call the guy that's in charge? What? I'm the moderator. Who? Mediator. I'm the mediator. I'm going to straighten you two guys out. Wait. In the Vedic, they taught us a human being is like a monkey. Whatever you feed it, that's what comes out. That's what it is. You don't have to believe it, not believe it. Just say positive for this week. And just before the Sabbath, you can go kill each other all over again. But right now, I'm in charge. And you got to say only positive. Don't you give a hint of anything negative. Now, I tell the man, let's hear some nice stuff about her. So for 10 minutes, he was going strong. He was good at it. He had hidden talent. It all came up. And then she went to work. Boy, she was good. She was, and they did for 10 minutes. Okay, that's enough. Tomorrow we meet again. We did this every day of the week. By Thursday, they were madly in love with each other. And they overlooked all the nasty stuff they had. Isn't that magic? I did this with several people. They thanked me till Shemayim. They're different people today. I said, you better stay like that. Now, I did it once with you. You're going to keep doing it throughout the week. And then here comes some more stuff. And then I start elaborating and I start laughing. Hey, you guys are carrying on like a bride and a bridegroom. You're carrying on like you just got engaged yesterday. You look like you're on a honeymoon. You look like just married, you know. You guys are great. And they're laughing. Get them to laugh also. That puts them in a different world. I want to pull them out of the negative world. And I say, you go home. And don't you dare ever say anything negative. Even if it's true, but you got to, no. Don't give me this true. We're a bunch of liars around here. We are Rabbi Miller's people. Better a positive lie than a negative truth. And I do encourage lies. I didn't have to. By the way, you see this paper? I have a whole bunch of stuff. This is what she had to say. He had to say about her. This she had to say. I wrote it all down. As I had such a ball listening to them. It was beautiful. And they love each other. And I said, don't you guys love each other? And he said, you know, you got a point. You know, they came in with a marital issue. We got to do something about our issue. We got an issue. They're running to therapists back and the parents, well, let's work on this one. They can get dizzy sometimes, the therapists. They can sit there forever. It's like drinking salty water. You know, you're thirsty. Ice cold, salty water. Go enjoy. Anyway, then another thing I said, very important. The woman does not get up in the morning. This is a different case. She doesn't get up in the morning. And he can't stand it. You're lazy, good for nothing. And the more he calls her lazy and you don't get up and you're not really what I... I can't. A woman that doesn't do anything all day, she sits all day. I can't deal with you. And she hears this 24-7, how incapable she is. And I told him, the more you tell her she's incapable, the more incapable she's going to become. And the more I say it, she even gets worse. Exactly. Where does a person get energy if they're hearing negatives all day? Either they're giving it to themselves or other people, or you think other people. When you have negatives, you can't move. You don't want to get up. Who wants to get up when you feel you're a zero? Who's interested? You're killing the... There's no energy. Now, from now on, you're going to say... positive. And she's got things on him, different. One of my big things is, you know, my wife would like to be good, but she isn't. She'd like to. I say liking to be good by me is in. It's 100% legal. Stay like that. She wants to be a good cook. That's enough. She wants to be. That's one of the great things of my wife. She wanted to be. I saw a grave of a woman. She wasn't so well mentally. And her kids wrote about her. They have very respectful kids. They wrote about her. She wanted to be a nice person. I saw the grave. I don't want to say who it is. But I knew the woman myself. She was not 100%. She wasn't a well person. And the kids wrote on the grave. She wanted very much to be nice. And I respect them for that. And what's wrong with wanting? In the next world, The guy who wants might be much better than the guy who actually does it. And I made them say that, say it, say it. You can't imagine what a turnaround. Now, speaking about wanting, here are two people. Right now it's Elul. This is a time of repentance. Now, I do want to tell you, two people prayed during the holy month of Elul. One guy was on fire. Did he pray beautifully, with happiness, with simcha, with ruach? He was crying to God, wow. And he said every word with kavana, with meaning, feeling, and he knew what he was talking about. He was great. The other guy was, when he prayed, he was cold like Antarctica with all the penguins. He was cold like crazy. Why? He had done something. Looked at something the other day that he shouldn't have looked at, or said something he should, or he got angry. He did something that wasn't right, and his heart turned into steel or ice, and he did not pray the way you're supposed to, and he was cold, and he barely understood what he was saying, and it wasn't done right, and it wasn't said, but he feels so bad. That's the way you pray in the holy month of Elul. Felt like 2 cents. Now you tell me, who is superior? The first guy or the second guy? Without a doubt, the second guy is much better. Now, I heard this b'shem Rabbi Mendel Kaplan Zatzal. He said it, b'shem one of the G'dayli Yisrael, one of the great sages in pre-war Europe. I won't say it in public until I double check, but if he said it himself, it's plenty good. He said, the guy who wants to learn and is not learning, and he has pain because he's not learning, is much better than a guy who's learning than he liked. How's that? Because Hashem, God wants people, but he wants people to desire to do the right thing. The main thing is you try and you want it to. What's the difference? Okay, now. When us Jews are standing before judgment, famous Gemara in Slabotke, they talked about this nonstop. Two people coming, going to be judged. Now look, you can't make a joke out of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you are going, they're going to find out, Mi Yechiel, Mi Yamos. Who's going to live? Who's going to die? They're going to make a decision. Who's going to live? Who's going to die? Who's going to fall underneath a whatever and get buried alive, Chas v'Shalom? Or somebody's going to get hurt? And who's not going to? Who's going to get rich? They say, when they say who's going to get rich, that's when everybody cries the most. Because they're afraid if the other guy gets rich, that's really going to hurt. That's the part they cry the most. Who's going to get rich? That hurts more than who's going to get poor. If I get poor, I'll get rich, Bill. But the other guy gets rich. My next one neighbor, my younger brother, whom I used to look down on him, and now he's the rich guy. He's the big shot. So painful. Anyway, and that's, they're going to be decided on Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you're not afraid of the judge of the world, you got serious problems. I heard the Watergate scandal. I remember the way the judge was on the radio all over the place. The judge, Earl Warren, his name was? I forgot his name. There was a fellow who wanted to stick up for himself. One of these government officials. He wasn't a nobody. He really messed up his life, but good. And he was heading for jail, you know, jail sentence or whatever. It was bad news. And the judge asked him, do you think it was wise what you did? And the guy says, Your Honor, please don't think I mean to be disrespectful. And he said that 20 times, not 20, but 10 for sure. Please don't think I'm being disrespectful. And he repeated, but I really mean this. And finally he said, if I would be wise, I wouldn't be here. And the whole place cracked up. It was funny the way he said it. But he was so petrified that the judge shouldn't let it out on him for speaking You got the cutest kids around. Look at that. Sweet like sugar. Your mother, tell your mother to eat you up. You and you, you go good with sauerkraut. You'll go good with ketchup. By the way, you sure you'll let, you want kids to come here? Because I am, it's at their own risk. I eat kids. In fact, I'm on a strict diet. I only eat kids. I'm joking. I'm joking. Anyway, I never ate any kids in my life. Anyway, but I do like them. And I know that God loves us, and that's why he creates cute kids. Kids are always cute. They are so delicious. Imagine if they wouldn't be. I once sent my wife a card after we had a baby. And the card had a picture of a little kid with it was a cartoon-like picture with a kid with a super red nose, a giant red nose, with a mouth wide open, screaming, "Why?" You know, crying his head off. And it said underneath, "I hear you have a red-nosed heavy drinker who screams his head off all day." It was a cute thing. Like, that's what a kid is. And he, don't worry, he smells also plenty. So guess who you got home? What'd you have to bring this guy home for? To mess up the peace? The house? We had a nice home, husband and wife. And who? And here comes a little kid who's messing up the whole. Now, say goodbye to those sleepful, to your good night's sleep. The 8 hours are, say bye-bye. 8 hours is history. From now on, who's getting up next with this nasty little kid? Sooner, all he knows how to do is scream his head off and wake up the whole house. That's all he's good for. So God loves us, and he says, "I got a great idea. I'm going to make them cute." And he knows how to do it. That baby doesn't even understand how cute he is. He makes them adorable. In fact, all the kids in the family, they themselves are quite cute. "Can I hold the baby? Can I hold the baby?" And they're all, who can hold the baby? Well, we can hold the baby, and the baby gets all the love he needs. Isn't that delicious? The way God makes such a beautiful world. You want to believe in God? Think of kids. What a beautiful world he made. You know, Rosh Hashanah, you got to think of the greatness of God. I was speaking about penguins before. You know the way the penguins, first of all, they stand straight. Something going on with them. They're not such regular creatures. They upright, you know. You know, how come they look like tuxedos? They have a white belly and a dark the back, you know. You know why? Because they have one big enemy. The leopard seal loves a penguin. And the penguin takes a dive into the ocean because there's nothing to eat in Antarctica. There's no food anywhere. You want to eat ice? It's not happening. There's no food. Forget it. There's not one tree, not one blade of grass. And it's freezing crazy cold. So Hashem says, "It's cold? Don't worry, penguin. I'll take good care of you." And he puts them such a coat on them. They are cozy all the time. They have special feet that dig into the ice. They wobble a lot, but they hold themselves very well, and they're so cute. Yeah, and you know what they do? They're nice to each other. They can get 1,000 penguins in one spot. They have communities, and they all stand next to each other to keep each other warm. And each one they take turns. They say, okay, you were in the middle, surrounded by all these other penguins, nice and cozy. Now, and the guy, penguin himself, knows that it's time for me to hop out. I'll be at the edge where it's the coldest. I'll give someone else a chance. They take chances. They're very nice. Penguins are great. And by the way, the mother and the father penguin, they get together. They spend 6 months away from each other. And now they have to find each other again. How do they find each other? You know how? They have a whistle. That is 1,000 penguins standing together. And the mother, the father wants to locate the mother, or the other way, whatever. Whichever one took a bait. You know, for food, you have to take a dive into the water and eat your head off for 6 months until you're oozing with fish, whatever's krill, whatever they eat there in the ocean. And when you come back, you're so full of food for 6 months, no eating. It's time for Tinus Tibur. You know, they don't eat. But anyway, how do they locate each other? So the mother gives a whistle. that there's only one whistle in the entire 1,000 penguins that sounds like that. And the father knows, oh, that's my wife. And he comes running. That unbelievable. Isn't that Hashem? And how the babies eat. Inside the mother, there's milk. And then, oh, don't ask. He's tap, tap. He knows what he's doing. Oh, don't ask. You know, there's the herring gull, a seagull. You know, his baby, how his baby eats. When she fishes, she takes a fish and she goes diving and she gets a fish. Now that baby cannot eat a full fish. He needs gefilte fish. He's not ready. And he's a little bubble. He's a tiny little baby inside the nest. So the mommy comes with a fish that she just caught. And what happens to the fish? The fish, she digests the fish. And when she digests the fish, it becomes gefilte fish. You know, you don't have to be a Jewish mother to get gefilte fish. You could be a seagull. They make delicious gefilte fish for their babies. Now, how's the baby going to get to the fish? If the mother swallowed it all the way down in her stomach, how's the gefilte fish going to come out for the baby to eat? So the Ibsa gave the little fish the baby fish, a brain that when there's a red dot on the, by the mouth of the mother. And he knows as soon as he's born, they experimented them. They put red dots on a log of wood and they right instinctively stop banging against those red dots because they know you see red, go bang, bang, bang with your beak. Go bang with your beak and your meal's coming out of your mother's mouth. And that makes the mother regurgitate. How much time did my father was a little kid and I wasn't well. I was sick. And my parents said, oh, you take two aspirins and you'll be okay. Okay, fine. So I figured, all right, I took two aspirins. My parents were gone. I took two aspirins. I was a little kid, you know. And I decided, okay, well, let's try. I don't feel better. Let's take another two. I took another two. I said, oh, well, at this point, I can use some more. I took 6, 8, 10. No, I took the whole business. I took the whole bottle. And now, for sure, I'm going to be well forever. Because I'll never get sick again. I swallowed a whole bottle of that. It's a true story. My father comes home. How are you doing? Oh, I did great. You know what? What's with the aspirins? Oh, I had plenty of them. Uh-oh. What do you mean you had plenty of them? I knocked off the bottle. Oh, no. My father gave me, he knew first aid. My father was a tzaddik. He gave me very hot water with a lot of salt. And I had to drink that. No, boy. And then he stuck his finger in my throat and he touched a certain spot. That makes everything come out. And he was watching. Okay, there's another three of them just came out. And so finally he decided, okay, you're safe. Anyway, but there's a spot. And you touch that spot and it causes the birds have the same thing. And the baby knows where the mother, so she gives tap, tap, and out comes gefilte fish, delicious, ma! You're a Hungarian cook! You're great! Isn't that something? Isn't that Hashem something? You ever hear of an arrowfish? The way they, you ever hear them? They're in China, I think. These arrowfish, you know what they do? They need bugs. They eat bugs. How are you going to get a bug into the water? He's up there and he's flying. So he, no problem. He goes, he gives out. He has something inside him. He takes one drop of water. He sends it flying in the air. Mamish like a slingshot. And he aims beautifully. He always hits it. He sends a few drops on that bug and the bug falls in. I got you. That's how they eat him up. You have a musig that's going on. On Rosh Hashanah, we say, Zayim tchilas ma'asecho. Zikaren liyayim rishayin. How delicious. The beginning of your beautiful world. We make it when we blow the shofar. We make Hashem great, the Torah says. All the kibbutz ruah. Right after he says, so do tshuvas. When you do repentance, you're making God great. Isn't that great? And he loves you to pieces. Rabbi said, you don't know how much he loves everybody. You know, if you don't eat blood, I hope everybody here, I want to tell the, I'm still alive. I hope to be around many long, happy, healthy years. I do would like to say my preference after I pass away, I'd like to be eulogized in with dignity. And I want to make sure that you say the right things. One of the things, I never in my life drank any blood. Right? And it says in the Holy Torah, for 5, 7 times it says, don't eat blood, Don't eat blood. Don't eat blood. Who wants that stuff? So the Holy Torah says, the Chazal, our holy rabbi said, because God loves us so much, he wants to give us a reward for doing things that we don't even want to do. And we're going to get rewarded for that. I never ate blood, so don't forget to mention that. I never ate a cockroach, not once in my life. Not a caterpillar, not a cockroach. But you know how many misses you get for not eating that garbage? And God loves us so, it's unbelievable. He wants to make us come out ahead. He makes things. This week's Pasha, we have a Rashi that says, I happen to be a miser, first class. I am filthy rich. I live in a palace you never saw. I have the fanciest house in the whole town. And I am stingy. That's me. And one day, I dropped a wallet. I dropped a couple of $1,000. And some poor people got a hold of it. And I'm screaming, where's my money? And I never found it. And these guys took my money. And they used it. I come to the next world. They go, oh, you are such a benevolent person. You're a heart of good. You gave so much charity. Me? I don't believe in giving charity. I believe in keeping everything. Yeah, but it dropped. And you didn't realize it. But other people benefited from you. And you're getting reward for that. That's Rashi says it. This week's Pasha. How do you like that one? I'll tell you another one. On Yom Kippur, if you eat your head off, the Erev Yom Kippur, the eve of Yom Kippur, just before, the day before the holiest day of the year, when you have to fast all day, you eat your head off. You're going to get reward as if you fasted 2 days. It's ridiculous. Why does God do these things? Because he loves us to pieces. So when you stand before God, you know who he is. He loves you to pieces. And you want to do well with him, start writing down all those good things he did to you. Thank goodness I'm married. Now, this is not me. This is someone else. Thank goodness I married that witch. Because I lost all my sins the first day of marriage. And the rest of my life, I spent the rest of the world all lost their sins in my marriage because I sat there and listened to her yelling at me. It's not me. I don't mean me. Chassid Shalom. I'm just joking. But the bad things that happen to you are the best thing. You know what happened to Rabbi Miller Zatzal? He once was offered a job. He went to an interview for a job to be a principal in a school. And then he rejected him. It made no sense. He was brilliant. He was the perfect man for the job. He would have been a great principal. They rejected him. And he thought they were crazy. They took somebody who was half-baked, you know, Mr. Nobody Plus. You know, one of those Nobody Minus. A guy who couldn't. He wasn't capable. He wasn't nothing. And he got the job. Everybody knows, what did they do right after? He didn't get that job. He got something else. He was invited by a friend to come to the Yeshiva of Slobodkin. He spent 6 years and became the greatest, one of the greatest sages in the last generation, Rabbi Avigdor Miller. Thank you that he did not get that job. If he would have gotten that job, he would never would have gone to Slobodkin and become Rabbi Miller. And everybody has these stories in their lives. So many stories, so many positive things going on. And when Rosh Hashanah is the happiest day of the year, my father-in-law was a Munkach Chassid, and he used to look forward to Yom Kippur like the happiest. It's got a Rosh Hashanah is delicious. You're not allowed to say the word sin. Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to say it. Keep away from sins. Some people love getting involved in sins. They like that. You know what I did? I'm bad. It's a yetzer hara. It's an evil inclination to worry about sins all day. You know what they did? I remember the first time I came to Chaim Berlin on Yom Kippur. The way they davened, the way they prayed in Chaim Berlin. Oh boy, it was the first time I was exposed to yeshiva people. Were they unbelievable? The sincerity. You people don't appreciate this stuff because you were born into it. I was a little boy, a red, white, and blue American Harry who lived in Far Rockaway. My father was the only beard in the entire Far Rockaway. I mean, talking about a black beard. The white beard guys that were over the hill, they had plenty of those who were dying out in old age homes. That's a different ballgame. But to start growing a beard in a society where nobody wears a beard, that takes a lot of guts. My father was a tzaddik, and he didn't care. People made fun of him. He just lived. He didn't mind. It was the first beard. I never saw a yeshiva guy. I remember the first time I saw a yeshiva guy. I was in the shul in the in Far Rockaway. Rav Khan was the name of the Rav over there. He was a big tzaddik, a great person. But there was nobody there. There was a giant room, and the most they ever had on Shabbos was 15 people. And it could fit 200. And I was one of those little kids, bored, stiff, until the Hasidim came to town. Thanks to the Hasidim, I have some life in me today. See, I'm joking. They're all great people. Rav Khan is sitting in paradise. Was he inside my brother? My father loved him. We used to say Shema, every word he said would come on. My father went, after he passed away, they found the place where he stood. They found a little piece of paper. Said, Da, know who you're standing in front of. You're standing in front of God. He had this friendly reminder for himself. He was an unbelievable person. He lived alone, and alone with God. He was a Talmud Chacham. He learned Torah day and night. He was a great person. But there was nobody there. It was an empty place. America was zero those days. Nothing cooking. And these elderly people, over the hill. And we had some life to us. My father was very liberty. And but that was it. So you see how that shul used to open up for everybody on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It was packed. 200, every single seat. And then even Jews who are off, but there's a certain feeling of awe for the holy days. Mendelssohn, Moshe Mendelssohn, I mentioned this last time. Moshe Mendelssohn is the father of the Haskalah. Those are the people that got in the lion's share of the Jewish people off the road. He got them to go away from God. He was a man. He is burning in hell right now. Don't ask what he's getting. He's getting paid. What he did, the damage he caused to the Jewish people. He taught them to discard their religion. He made a joke out of it. And unfortunately, he got most people to go with him. Well, they had difficult times. I mean, they were persecuted by the Gentiles big time. And he said, look, if you start playing dance to their tune, then they'll be nice to you. So learn German, don't speak Yiddish, and start, take off your beards, and Sabbath, make the synagogue look more like, he called it a temple, Reform temple. The temple is more like the Christians. Their style, they're gonna like us more if we act like them, and we discard our religion as much as possible. The prayer books were English, no more, That's what he did. Guess what happened? In the final analysis, which he came from Germany, and the Germans were the first people to go away from God. They did things no one else did. For instance, men and women would shake hands with each other. Unheard of in our society. They would shake hands, big deal, or first name basis. They didn't do that among the more these types. They had different things that they were, for even the religious ones, they were chilled out, except for a few exceptions. Rabbi Hirsch was an exception. But most of them, they were sliding away. The first of all the Jewish people between Russia and Poland and Hungary, Czechoslovakia, there was no country that slid away from God the way Germany was number one, the leader. And Dar Sameach, Ramea Simcha said, watch what's going to happen. We're going to get punished for all that stuff. And guess where the punishment's coming from? Germany! The German Jews! Well, the ones that said, let's get rid of our religion, be just like the Gentiles. We're going to get punished from that country. And those days, the Germans were the best people around. World War I, the Germans were much nicer than the Russians. I had an uncle who served in the German army. What are you talking? Germans were civilized. They were the good guys, not like the Russians. The Germans were much, and he said, the Jews, that's the country where they sinned, where the Jews went away from God. That country you're gonna get from that country. And there goes Hitler. 1939, the Nazis came, wiped out 6 million Jews. That's what you get for going away from God. You get punished. There's no jokes with this stuff. Anyway, they asked the children of Mendelssohn, who caused this whole, they asked them, what was different? Now, your father used to be a practicing Jew. What was different about him in the good days? You know what he said? He had no fear of the holy days. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's a certain fear. We all have it. Sandy Koufax had it. He wouldn't beat a pitcher. He was a star, a best baseball player. Who was he, a Dodger or a Yankee? Who was he? He was a top baseball player. He would not play on Yom Kippur. It's a holy day. He wasn't a practicing Jew. But everybody understood there's something about, there's a certain fear. God gave us a gift. We have a certain fear for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We have an inborn fear. And that's a gift. And the more fear we have, when you tell the judge you're scared, I'll be nice to you. Now Moshe Mendelssohn was not scared. That's what the kid said. He was not scared. We noticed that difference. He came to those holy days. He was all chilled out. He laughed at it. You laugh at the holy days, you're in trouble. Now the more fear you show on these days, the more you're going to come out ahead. You're going to show some fear. It's not going to kill you. If you have fear of God, don't kill nobody. You don't have to be stressed. You don't have to be turned into who knows what. You have to be happy. Because we know for sure we're coming out ahead. We have betachon, we have faith that we're coming out ahead. When somebody has faith, then God's nice to him. He wants you to have faith in him. But you got to realize that you have an issue. Your life and death. There's a lot of rich or poor. It's all waiting. They're going to decide on these holy days what's going to happen. And if you're concerned about it, but the way you react to it is a positive way, we're going to make it for sure. Dip the apple in the Rosh Hashanah. We eat a delicious meal. You know what happened? After the first temple was destroyed, there was a great sage in Israel. He was as great as Moses. His name was Ezra. And Ezra said, and they came crying. They all married Christian women when they were in Babylon. He said, they were crying. They said, look what we did. We're all messed up. He said, don't worry about anything. I said, God, you have to divorce them. You can't be married to a Christian woman. You're divorced. So you repented. Goodbye. You're fine. Now go eat a good, delicious meal. And you eat a good, delicious meal. God will like that. Because it showed you have faith in him, that you're coming out ahead. He likes that. He wants you to have betachon in him, and we should be zeicher this year to exceed of esim a taiva, sam shel tzadikim gemurim, the best year we ever had. You know what they did in the Vardig?